Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, always welcome the ray of sunshine that Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for the Society of Science at SFI, Science Foundation Ireland. And we have two topics of great interest today. The first is about coffee beans. You know that buzz that you get from coffee? Why do different beans taste completely different? Everything we need to know about the brew. So what to know?
Good morning, Ivan. How are you? Yeah, well, this is research that was done over the last couple of years about coffee. And as you say, one of our absolute favourite drinks all across the world. And for many of us, it's an essential part of getting up and getting going. And scientists in Portugal decided we'd like to understand why. Because we know that caffeine, which is in coffee, is a stimulant. It increases the amount of adrenaline and cortisol in our body. But what's really going on when we have that cup of coffee? So they recruited about 83 volunteers. They're people who usually drank coffee, but they got them to not drink any coffee for a few hours before the experiment. Then they split them into two groups. One group, they gave them their normal cup of coffee. The other group, they gave them the same amount of caffeine, but just in hot water. So without any of the nice smells and tastes of the coffee. And they stuck them into an MRI scanner to see what was going on with their brains. And they found for both groups, there was a change in that an area of the brain associated with helping us rest was activated. So they could see in both groups, there was an effect from the caffeine. But there was a much bigger effect in those that had drunk the coffee. So in fact, when we looked at parts of the brain where people had drunk the coffee, there was extra activity in areas associated with working memory, so short-term memory, your attention span, and your ability to focus and solve problems. So this is really interesting because, you know, they're essentially having the same amount of caffeine. So what's going on with the coffee? And what researchers think is there's a bit of a placebo effect here. So for all of us, our brains are very good at picking up on social cues. So this idea that the smell, the taste, you know, the ritual of even making your coffee could be having an impact on your brain, telling you it's time to wake up, it's time to get going. And that could be a big part of the sort of placebo effect that we're getting from our coffee.
Okay, that makes sense. But the study proved that caffeine per se does stimulate you.
Absolutely. And we know that because we understand the physiological basis for that. And we get that in tea and other drinks as well. But there's definitely a particular coffee effect. And again, coffee drinkers won't be surprised at that.
Okay. So in terms of the variation, so you get an Americano, but can it vary in terms of the coffee beans for connoisseurs? What are the different types of coffee?
So most of the coffee that we drink is called Arabica, about 60% is Arabica, and the rest of the coffee we drink is called Robusta. And Arabica is interesting because it's actually a hybrid coffee that was made originally from Robusta. But a bit like we talked about bananas a few weeks ago, there's not a lot of variation in the genes in these coffees. And it's a bit of a cause for concern because it means that Arabica coffee is not very resistant to disease and it doesn't do great in when we look at climate change and having to deal with different temperatures. But just now we've understood maybe what the differences are, because, of course, coffee connoisseurs can pick out the difference between beans and species grown in different places. And it seems to be that the Arabica, because we can sequence huge, big, long sections of DNA. So rather than looking at an individual gene where they all look the same, they actually seem to have extra chromosomes. They have inserted bits of chromosomes, so huge chunks of DNA that are removed or copied. And this is really interesting for us, because if we actually understand what's going on in the genome of coffee, we might be able to help preserve it in the face of all of the challenges that we have.
So the idea we'd have kind of genetically modified coffee beans?
Well, we may have to. It's a bit like bananas. We may have to have either genetically modified bananas or no bananas, and same with coffee. But we're also looking at wild species that we might be able to tame and drink in the future.
What are the principal countries for coffee growing?
Comes from Ethiopia, but you see it in all of those highland coffees, Kenya, I mean, across sort of cold highland climates in warm countries. That's where we get it from.
Okay. The other topic you have for us is there is concern about palm oil and the impact on sustainability globally. First of all, tell us the problem.
So the problem, palm oil is our most widely used vegetable oil. About 40% of our vegetable oil that we use comes from palm oil, and it is in everything. So if you go around your supermarket, about half of the products on the shelves will contain palm oil. So that's everything from food to toothpastes to lipsticks, deodorants. It's in everything because it has great properties that production companies love. So it's sort of a preservative. It's very stable. It doesn't taste. It doesn't smell. So it's almost impossible to avoid, even though many people do try to avoid it. It comes from tropical areas that were rainforests that have been cleared now to grow palm oil trees. And we've cleared huge amounts. So there's over 30 million hectares of rainforest have been cleared to sort of satisfy our demand for palm oil. And all the species that live in those forests have been decimated. I mean, most famously, the orangutans, because they're kind of a keystone species. But all of the other plants and smaller, less well-known animals have also been destroyed. So scientists have come up with an idea, which is maybe we could produce palm oil in a lab. And there's a number of biotech companies now in the States that have seemed to have come up with a way to do this. So there's a whole range of different yeast species that actually produce oil. So in exactly the same way we use yeast to brew beer or wine, we can...
The fermentation process.
Exactly. So we can use these oleaginous yeasts, as they're called, because they produce oil. There's about 160 species of them, but there's one particularly which seems to produce a lot of oil, and the oil is very, very like palm oil. So this biotech company has managed to get this oil to produce... oil, get this yeast to
synthetic,
produce oil. Synthetic palm oil, exactly. Okay. Very, very similar things. So they feed this yeast sugar. If you overfeed this yeast, it sort of swells up into a little ball of fat and you can extract the oil from it. So that's great. And it only takes 7 days from start to finish, this whole process. So it's much, much quicker than the
but
years.
But in laboratory conditions doesn't mean it can be commercially produced.
Well, not yet. It is being used in toiletries at the moment. The problem is it's too expensive. At the moment, it costs a lot more than just growing it on a tree. But, you know, that may change, as in the future, we have to kind of count the real cost of things that come from nature and the carbon cost of these things. That's inevitably going to happen as we progress through the 21st century. So if we see these technologies happening now, they're inevitably going to be scaled up. So it's good news that
we can do this. What parts of the world are most at risk for this deforestation to make way for palm
trees? Again, it's places like Indonesia, Borneo, tropical rainforests in Asia.
So the biodiversity of the orangutans and all is most impacted. Okay, right. It is amazing. And do you think that we could get a commercial application of this within the next 5 years?
I mean, it'll all come down to the market conditions. If we want to, we will.
Is it expensive palm?
At the moment, it is expensive, but I mean, fermentation...
No, I meant the regular palm oil.
Very cheap at the moment. It's incredibly cheap. And that's why it's in everything. But, you know, it's a question of what's the real cost. And that's where we have to start thinking about things differently as we go through the 21st century.
All right. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science in Science Foundation Ireland. Thank you indeed.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.